Barcelona. Are those finger marks on your throat? Anita Halleck asked as she stared at Castiglione's image on her desktop phone screen.
Yes, Castiglione replied, his voice harsh, rasping. The bastard nearly strangled me.
Halleck slumped back in her desk chair. What happened?
He got upset. About his wife.
Upset?
Homicidal, almost, Castiglione croaked. He caught me by surprise.
Halleck listened to Castiglione's telling of his meeting with Jordan Kell. So he's sensitive about his wife, is he?
Very, said Castiglione, rubbing his throat.
We can use that.
Yes, for certain. But be careful. He's like an unexploded bomb about her. One instant he's perfectly fine, then, boom, he goes off.
Halleck smiled coldly. Well, I won't have any private meetings with him, that's for sure. In the meantime, perhaps we could arrest him for assault?
Castiglione shook his head. It's a trivial charge, and
attempted murder?
The local authorities would have to arrest him, and he'd be out on bail in a few hours. We couldn't hold him.
Too bad, said Halleck. At any rate, I suppose I should have a serious talk with Carlos Otero.
Leaning back comfortably in his desk chair, Otero was actually smiling as Jordan told him about his meeting with Castiglione.
You throttled him.
I lost my temper, Jordan admitted almost sheepishly. Before Otero could reply, he saw his desktop phone screen flashing yellow, with the name Anita Halleck printed out across its face.
Uh-oh, he murmured. Here she is now.
Halleck?
Nodding, Otero instructed the phone to project Halleck's image onto the three-dimensional viewer built into the wall across his office. The chairwoman of the World Council sat behind her desk, wearing a sky-blue blouse and a somber, grim expression. Her eyes widened momentarily as she saw Jordan seated before Otero's desk, but she quickly recovered from her surprise.
I'm pleased to see you both, she said in a voice that could etch steel.
And it's always a delight to see you, Anita, Otero replied, grinning.
You're harboring a fugitive, Carlos. That isn't wise.
Mr. Kell is a fugitive? What crime has he been charged with?
He was in protective custody, as you well know.
Jordan spoke up. That's an honor I respectfully decline, and I'd like my wife to be released, too.
Impossible, Halleck snapped.
She's working willingly with our scientists.
Leaning both his beefy forearms on his desktop, Otero said,
It wouldn't look good for you if Mr. Kell complained on worldwide video that you're holding his wife captive.
It wouldn't be good for you, Carlos, if you go through with your plan to put Mr. Kell on your network.
Otero waved a dismissive hand in the air.
My lawyers tell me that we're perfectly within our rights. Mr. Kell is not a criminal, neither is his wife.
Your lawyers will get their chance to represent you in court, after we've arrested you for breaching the security laws.
See you in court, then, Otero said. After my interview with Mr. Kell.
Carlos, you can't...
Just a minute, Jordan interrupted.
We're getting away from the important point. There's a wave of death heading toward Earth, which won't be here for another 2,000 years, Halleck scoffed.
But it will engulf other worlds. It will wipe out other intelligent creatures.
So you say...
Otero, his face dead serious, said,
So we will show on our program. We have some very frightening evidence to put on the air.
Leveling a finger at him, Halleck said,
If you try to put this scaremongering material on the air, I'll have the electrical power supply from the power satellites cut off for all of Massachusetts, all of New England if need be.
Otero laughed. That would be a grand feather in your cap, wouldn't it? That would win you a lot of votes for your re-election next year.
No, it will be you who causes the blackout by trying to broadcast alien propaganda.
Propaganda? Jordan yelped.
I am not going to allow alien propaganda to be foisted on the general public, Halleck said. For all I know, Mr. Kell, you are a willing agent for the aliens in their scheme to take over the Earth.
That's ridiculous. Otero was still smiling more broadly than ever. This is great! We'll get more viewers than ever if they're scared of an alien invasion.
Halleck started to snap out a reply, but checked herself. She drew in a breath, and then, very deliberately, she said to Jordan,
If you want to see your wife again, Mr. Kell, don't go through with this broadcast.
and her image winked out. Once the connection was cut, Anita Halleck allowed her iron-hard self-control to loosen. She slumped in her desk chair and laid her head on the desktop.
"He's a madman," she told herself. "Jordan Kell is absolutely insane with this idea of saving alien worlds from the death wave. Maybe he actually is working for the aliens. Maybe this is all some convoluted plot."
She stopped and sat up straight. The worst sin in politics, she reminded herself, is to believe your own propaganda. Kell's going to go through with his broadcast, and Otero's going to make it possible.
All right, let them.
Don't try to stop them, use them. Turn them to your own advantage. And she remembered another dictum about politics. Don't get mad, get even. "I'll destroy Otero if it takes me the rest of my life," she vowed. Then she saw that Gilda Nordquist had called. Her message line said, "Urgent re-Mrs. Kell," nothing more. But that was enough to get Halleck to return her call.